Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
We are now going to talk to Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. He is Dr. Kevin Most, and this is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Good morning to you, Dr. Most.
Wendy, how are you doing?
I was just telling Andy Mazur, I was coughing off air, and I said, I do not have COVID. I am getting over a sinus infection. I've been on an antibiotic. I had an inhaler. I actually had to go to urgent care because I coughed for 45 minutes straight and could not catch my breath. And it just turned out that I had some inflamed, I don't know what was inflamed. They gave me a nebulizer, which I looked like a pilot or something out of a Star Wars movie with the mask on. It was the greatest thing I ever experienced, this warm air coming up into my face, and I stopped coughing. It was fabulous.
And I bet you Andy Mazur has moved back a couple of feet.
10 feet, yes, 10 feet.
Isn't it weird, though, how, like, if you're out in public and you cough, people give you, you know, they give you a side eye or something? Because everybody's, you know, what, do you have it? No, I've tested. I don't.
Yeah, and Wendy, you know, coughing is a defense mechanism for us. People say, oh, God, I hate to cough. I wish you could just stop this cough. Give me medicine to stop the cough. And often people have to understand that coughing is one of the ways that we protect people who have a sinus infection with that infectious stuff draining down the back of your throat to end up not going into your lungs and giving you pneumonia. So although it's inconvenient, it's actually a defense mechanism. And yeah, what happens when you get in those coughing spells or coughing jags, you know, your airway, your trachea is just like spasming, and that's the warm medication that we're giving you through that mist, the nebulizer, that takes that spasm away and takes the cough away. So parents who have kids who have asthma or asthmatic, they're sitting there nodding their head right now going, I know exactly what you did. I know exactly what you had.
And, you know, my husband has asthma, so that he said, maybe you're developing asthma, which you can at any time. It's probably unlikely. But it was really scary. Now I know what people who have asthma going through an asthma attack go through, because I could not get breath in. It was crazy. My husband was a little happy because I finally wasn't able to talk. But yes, that's urgent care is a great way to deal with it. Of course, these things happen like after hours, you know, it never happens.
Never on a weekday, right. Never exactly.
All right. Well, we were exchanging some emails, and I am really devastated by the death of Lisa Marie Presley. She died at the age of 54, cardiac arrest. I feel so sorry for Priscilla losing her daughter, and Lisa Marie leaves behind three children. Her son died by suicide a couple of years ago, and it seems like she never had really recovered from a broken heart. Paramedics were called to the house. We have now found out that her ex-husband, Danny Keough, was performing CPR, and she did not look very great at the Golden Globes, I'll be honest with you. She seemed very slow to speak. She had difficulty walking. She has had addiction problems in the past. I just am kind of surprised that someone at the age of 54 can die from cardiac arrest. What do we take from this?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And like you said, you know, we don't know the whole story, but certainly it sounds like her ex-husband, I'm not sure how long it took him before he got there or if he was present and whether he was trained in CPR. You know, and what you said about the Golden Globes as well, you know, we have to understand that women have different symptoms for heart disease than men do. You know, men, it's always, oh, my fist is going to my chest and someone feels like they're sitting on my chest. Women often have stomach pain, back pain, shortness of breath, nausea, fatigue, symptoms that we really wouldn't equate with heart disease. So, you know, when you saw her on Tuesday at the Golden Globes, was she having heart issues at that time and really didn't realize it, and then had just a full-blown, you know, heart attack, unfortunately. So the age of 54, very unusual, especially in females, but certainly possible that this was due to a heart attack. In other words, blockage of the blood vessels that feed the heart and you know, allow it to continue to pump, versus a cardiac arrest, which, you know, Damar Hamlin had, where it's more of an electrical issue where the heart's just not pumping functionally because of the electricity needed to force it to pump appropriately is out of whack.
So since we're talking heart issues, high cholesterol runs in my family. My brother gave up eating red meat for a year and was watching what he ate, and his cholesterol level barely came down. I have been prescribed statins, and I started taking them, and then I stopped because I had shoulder pain. And again, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. It was unrelated, but I didn't know at first. And are statin drugs good to take? Do they really help?
Absolutely. I could tell you, Wendy, my father died at a very young age from a heart attack. My brother had a heart attack at the age of 47. So certainly we know heart disease is in our family, and all of us are on statins. And they definitely do work. Now, your brother stopping red meat is one thing, but what did he replace that with? Because there are way more worse foods than red meat when we talk about cholesterol levels and we talk about dietary things. So
he's in great shape. He's thin. Good. He eats well. But my point being that it's more of a hereditary issue in our family because he did great things to counterbalance that, and it didn't really work.
Yeah, you can do all the things that you can control. In other words, your diet, your exercise, and all that, and you still may need that help with that statin drug, which allows you to keep that cholesterol lower. And certainly anybody who's listening who has a history of heart disease that does all the things, please get your cholesterol level checked and go on a statin. Now, Wendy, like you said, you had shoulder pain. One of the problems with statins is it can cause some muscle pain. But once you've ruled that out, that was not the cause, going back on that statin makes total sense.
Okay, and before we take a break, and if you don't have the answer, maybe you can think about it during the break, but a great question from 630. What are some resources where an individual can take a CPR class to help save lives? Because I took it, I think, when I had our kid. So 23 years ago, I took infant CPR, but it would be a great idea to brush up on it. Just, it would be helpful to know it.
Absolutely. And almost every municipality offers it. So almost every park district offers it. Almost every hospital offers it as well. And it has changed dramatically in 23 years. You know, the mouth-to-mouth breaths are gone now, and it's more about focusing on the heart and then also teaching people how to use an AED. You know, you think, oh my gosh, oh, yeah, I can't do that. That's way too technical. When in fact, if you remember years ago, a 12-year-old used an AED at O'Hare and saved an individual's life. So it's municipalities, park districts, and the hospitals all have CPR courses, and it's amazing since Damar Hamlin, and I'm sure with Ms. Presley, that you're going to start to see more and more people signing up, which is great.
It is great. All right, we are going to take a break. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. We are talking to Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And Dr. Most, we were talking about high cholesterol, but maybe we should talk about high blood pressure, because boy, are we all unhealthy, I'm starting to realize. Is there a particular high blood pressure diet, something we can do to help by what we eat?
Well, you know, Wendy, I think a couple things there. People should really try to know what their blood pressure is, and you can do that as simply as checking at home. You know, there's blood pressure kits that you can have at home that cost about $50 and are very accurate, because a lot of people have high blood pressure and don't even know it because they only go to the doctor once a year. So once you identify it, then the doctor is going to give you some ideas as far as what you can do. Certainly exercise will bring down, you know, high blood pressure, but like you said too, what about our diet? People who have high sodium diets are going to really have a problem with blood pressure, so certainly we're going to try to sodium restrict. So that's probably the biggest thing, is get rid of that salt shaker when you're eating. But we also know that there's a lot of foods that can actually help your blood pressure, so the doctor may even talk to you about these, and you'll And one that you probably love. I don't know if you're a chocolate fan, but, you know, dark chocolate actually.
Who likes chocolate? You're crazy. But it is dark chocolate.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That's
the
important.
Flavonoids in dark chocolate actually help decrease blood pressure. Yes.
And bananas are good for you?
Yeah, bananas, you know, we talk about sodium. Well, anti-sodium is potassium. So, you know, those are the two that kind of balance each other out. So we know that bananas are high in potassium. So great one, which reduces the effect of sodium and decreases the chance of any damage to the kidneys, which is how we sometimes monitor blood pressure due to our kidneys. So certainly bananas is something that is a great thing for people with high blood pressure to make sure that it negates that impact of the sodium.
How is 120 over 80 for blood pressure? Is that pretty good?
Yeah, 120 over 80 is good. You know, we really love to see that lower number, that 80 number. Anything lower is great. We certainly do not want to see it higher than that.
Okay.
You know, individuals that are walking around with, that's called the diastolic, that's when the heart is essentially resting at its peak. We don't like to see that in the 90s, and some people actually even in the hundreds. And then the systolic number, obviously, that's when the heart is pumping its hardest. We don't like to see that, you know, in the 130s, 140s. So 120 over 80, if you can do that, that is great. It should be a goal for people. And really, it should be a goal to just know what your number is and know how you can impact it.
Almost every doctor visit I go to, and when I take it at home, it's 120 over 80. Almost every time. Everything else is going wrong with me, but I have pretty good blood pressure at this point. All right. And I know I'm just going to ask you, my dad was a type 1 diabetic and passed away at the age of 47 due to complications from it. And I have some family members who have diabetes, and I have heard that cinnamon is very good for diabetics. And now I'm hearing that it's good for maybe high blood pressure as well. Is cinnamon the magic spice?
Yeah, cinnamon really is. Cinnamon's wonderful. And like you said, it's actually good in type 2 diabetics as well. So we know that obesity will kind of lead us towards type 2 diabetes. But cinnamon, not only does it help the diabetics, but certainly helps those individuals who have high blood pressure as well. And people have to understand, too, you know, diabetes, you know, unfortunate, sorry if you're losing your father at that age, you know, the advancements that have been made in diabetes is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now that we know what your blood pressure, or excuse me, what your blood sugar is at any given time, and the glycosylated hemoglobin, the hemoglobin A1C number, that we can tell how well have you been on your diet and how well has your sugar been maintained for 120 days, not just for the moment that you're in the doctor's office.
They've really come a long way, absolutely. And I would like you to solve the big old question before we let you go today. I know you're supposed to drink a lot of water every day. I hate to admit that sometimes a full day will go by and I'm like, I haven't had any water today. I have a big old glass of ice water in the studio with me right now. Do we need 8 glasses of water a day? Do we need more than that? What is the number?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. That 8 glasses of water that everyone has always thrown out actually came out of Japan in a marketing study. So it really was, there was no science behind it. But certainly what we have seen, and matter of fact, NIH just came out with a study last week showing the importance of good hydration. And again, we're going to go back to that sodium. You know, if you have high sodium, then you're dehydrated. So we certainly don't want to drink to a point where we have low sodium, but certainly we want to try to keep that balance. We know that in females, it's about 3.7 liters. But again, you say, gosh, that sounds pretty exact.
Yeah.
We have to understand it's different based on where you're at. What's the environment? Are you in some place where it's warm and you're losing, you know, water as you're out walking? Or is it the wintertime when really you don't? And a lot of foods have water in them. So individuals who take tea, who take coffee, who eat fresh fruit, you're getting some of that water through your diet as well. So don't take the, you know, 3 liters and say, I have to drink all of this. Just know that you are getting it. And really, I just tell people, you know, there's a couple things. One, you really shouldn't be thirsty. So thirst is telling you that you don't have enough. And then people say, oh, that's gross. But really, the color of your urine, if you have dark urine, you know that it's concentrated and you know that you're dehydrated.
What is it? If it's yellow, let it bellow. I don't remember. But I just know that drinking, I have ice and I have a little coffee stirrer that's acting like a cocktail straw. I don't know if I'm pretending it's a vodka and tonic. I just know it. I drink it more if I use a straw. So I guess figure out what works for you. Do you like it cold? Do you like it room temperature? And then perhaps you'll drink more water.
That's it. And really, you know, if you say, gosh, I don't, you know, I don't really think that that's important, go ahead and Google NIH, you know, study of hydration, where it shows you that individuals will live longer if they're well hydrated. And those that are drinking way too much water actually are aging faster. So certainly a very interesting study that looked at over 30,000 people over 10, 15 years. So fascinating study, but really just shows the importance of good hydration.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, Wendy. Take care. We'll talk soon.